On Wednesday, May 3rd, I was interviewed on BBC Radio with two of my sober pen pals, if you can imagine. They asked me if I could provide two case studies, and they asked me to provide a case study of someone who was successfully sober and of someone who was still drinking. So first of all, let me say really, really brave thank you to Sarah for doing this, because I have to tell you, if it was me, I'm not sure I would have done it. So everybody listening to this, I want you to put big electronic global international hugs, please, to Sarah to say thank you for this. And Bemi girl, first time on the radio, didn't sound nervous at all. I cannot tell you that when this was over, I was so proud of all of us, really. Like, I just thought we were so brave and it went so well, considering we didn't know the questions in advance and I didn't know what the tone of the questioning would be like. I didn't realize that it would be interesting radio if you asked provocatively difficult questions. And so I was a bit surprised at how it went, because I was expecting something really softy, touchy-feely, and that isn't what happened. But it's not supposed to happen, and it doesn't happen every time. And not everybody loves you, number one. Number two, trying to convince people who don't have a wolfy voice that we do, and that we have found a way to quit drinking that doesn't always involve AA, is a difficult sell to somebody who drinks. And it's a sell, frankly, that I don't normally do. I don't normally spend any time trying to convince somebody who doesn't get it what's going on with us. So this was my first experience with trying to explain over drinking in a way that a presenter, and a popular and well-known and a hugely listened to presenter, doesn't get, or if she does get it, she's being provocative on purpose because it makes for better radio. So I don't want you to attack anybody in this. I want you to listen to this with an open heart and an open spirit. I would like, I'm prefacing it because I don't want you to go, that's ridiculous. Remember that the audience is people who don't know anything about overdrinking necessarily. And also pay attention to the comments that she gets, the ones that she reads out. They're all supportive of you and me and Bemi girl and Sarah. And with that really long preface, I'm now going to give you the BBC Five Live May 3rd recording with Emma Barnett. This was the first of two radio interviews that I did on that day.
Now, a new ONS report out today, that's the Office of National Statistics, shows that the number of admissions to hospital due to drinking alcohol has increased by over 20% from just over a decade ago. The number of people who admitted to drinking in the previous week has actually gone down a bit from 10 years ago, but it's the highest earners, those earning £40,000 and above, who, according to the report, are more likely to be frequent drinkers and binge on a big day. But what happens if drinking is something you're worried about, but you don't consider yourself to be an alcoholic? Some people, and mainly it seems women, are turning to help online with something called sober coaching. So what is it, and how can sober coaches help people? Belle Robertson is the author of the blog Tired of Thinking About Drinking and is a sober coach. And I can also speak to two women who have used sober coaches, Sarah and Bemi Girl. That's the online name she uses when she's talking about having coaching and these experiences. Sarah and Bemi Girl, I will come to you in just a moment. But first, Belle, let me welcome you to the programme.
Thank you.
Good morning. And I should also say to my listeners, if you feel like any of this kind of talks to your experience, do feel free to get in touch, 85058 on the text or 0808 590 9693, to give me a call. If you have struggled with this but you don't see yourself as an alcoholic, or if you have perhaps intervened with a friend or somebody you love or a family member and said, you know what, you're just drinking a bit too much, get in touch. You don't have to give your real name. Belle, then, sober coaching. What is a sober coach?
I think it's sort of like having a friend online. It's somebody that you can reach out to get ideas and inspiration on how to navigate a world without alcohol, because you know as well as I do that booze is everywhere. And if you're someone who's trying to not drink at all, a lot of things can present challenges, especially to begin. So it's nice to be able to go online and find a community of people who are going through the same thing and who can tell you, you know, for example, like what to say when somebody says to you, why aren't you drinking today?
What makes you go and speak to a sober coach rather than go to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous?
Yeah, I think part of the problem is that AA requires you to say that you're an alcoholic, or at least that's our perception of it, even if it isn't true. And I work lots of people who are consider themselves to be over drinkers, but not alcoholics. And so that word becomes a barrier. Even when you know you're drinking too much, it becomes a barrier to going in the room. But also, it's not anonymous, because you have to put your head in a room. You have to physically put your body in a space. And if you do it online, you can use a screen name, you can reach out to someone, and you can be completely anonymous.
What qualifies you to do this?
Oh, only that I'm sober and that I've been blogging online about my experience, and that I've worked one-on-one with 2,600 individual people over the course of the last couple of years. That happened simply by having a sober blog and having people reach out to me and say, could I email you? Could we contact? Could I have somebody to talk to? And so I started.
What was your relationship though with alcohol when you say you've been sober?
Yeah, I was a person who drank more than I wanted to, more often than I wanted to. And I was a person who made deals with myself to drink less, to skip nights, to have one drink and then drink a glass of water, all of those sorts of attempts to drink less. And I was never drink less, but I was never very successful at it. And it wasn't until I went online and saw that there was a sober community where people were saying it's okay to drink none instead of continuously wrestle with this idea of moderation or controlled drinking. And when you hear that, you think that's ridiculous. Like, how could it possibly be easier to have none? And it turns out that it is easier to have none.
And do you charge to be a sober coach?
I do, but I have I have a sort of model where it's 80% free. So I do tons of things that don't cost anything. And I have thousands of people following me that I don't even know about because they just are taking advantage of the free stuff, or they're what I call a lurker. They're sort of watching, but not really saying anything. I do daily emails. I write a blog. I do free 1-minute audio messages. And like I said, 80% of what I do is completely free. And that means that the 20% of things that I do charge for is enough to cover everything else.
How much do you charge? Just out of interest?
It actually depends on what it is. Like, if you wanted to buy a podcast that might be 30, 40 minutes long, it's $5 US. So okay. I don't know what that converts to. That's, you know, that's one piece. And then you could go up to having phone calls with me, or you could have 100 archived podcasts, or
I suppose what I'm also driving at is whether it's ethical or not to, as you say, your experience is life experience. It's not to do that down, but whether it's actually these people are in denial. I mean, I can talk to two of them in just a moment, but whether they're in denial about being alcoholics and they should actually seek the help of, in inverted commas, a professional.
Right. And I think that if the goal is to not drink, then however you don't drink is enough. Some people go to AA. Some people go to AA and they email me. Some people go to AA and they email me and they've been to rehab and then they set up calls with me afterwards.
Well, let me bring in Sarah at this point. Good morning to you, Sarah.
Hi.
Talk to me about your relationship then with alcohol.
My relationship with alcohol is quite a complicated one and quite a complex one. I've always drunk pretty much since I was about 15 or 16. I'm in my early 50s now. I stopped drinking for quite a long time, actually. I think it was almost about 2 years. And then I've started again. And I don't consider myself to be an alcoholic. And people that meet me don't think I'm an alcoholic. I don't fit the stereotype of whatever that is.
But how much do you give it to us in something we can understand then? When you're drinking, how much do you drink a day?
Well, I kind of have lost my off button a little bit. So if I open a bottle of wine in the evening, I'll finish it.
And do you do that every day?
Most days, yes. Not every day, but most days.
And did you turn to a sober coach then?
I did. I did do it, and I didn't know anything about it. I found it by accident. I was just I was Googling one night, and I didn't realise all this stuff went on, because there's loads and loads and loads of blogs, not just Belle. There's lots of other people that blog about what they do and their experiences, and I thought it was only me that felt the way I did about drinking too much, and everybody else was kind of okay with it, and it was just somehow it was like a flaw in me. And to find that there's a whole bunch of people out there all over the world who struggle with it as well, I thought, oh God, yeah, this is great. This is really good, because it felt very supportive and it made me feel more normal and certainly less alone.
And you have been through something very difficult in terms
of losing
your husband, if you don't mind me bringing that up.
Because no, I don't mind.
When you say you were sober for a time, that was linked to that situation in your life and a decision about how you were going to handle that.
Yes, it was. When my husband was diagnosed with terminal cancer, we'd both been quite heavy drinkers, and I thought, I can't help him and carry on drinking. It was kind of, I felt there was a bit, I'd come to a big crossroads. I could either carry on drinking and disappear into a bottle and potentially not come out again, or I had to just sort myself out and be there. And I did. And that was one of the primary drivers for me stopping drinking. Yeah.
And have you started drinking since you lost him? Has that been the trigger?
I did, but it wasn't. There was a time lag. So I, all the way through after he actually died, and all the way through the funeral and all the preparations and everything, sober, sober, sober. And it was when I went on holiday for the first time. And I think taking me away from my environment, taking me away from my supports. And I thought, I'll just have one beer. But it's never just one beer, though.
It just keeps going. I've got a message here, actually, from Paul, who's listening. It says, I'm 55. I earn £60,000 a year. I drink up to 6 cans of beer 5 or 6 nights a week. It's too much. I can't stop, but I don't feel like I'm an alcoholic. Let me welcome in Bemi Girl to this, who blogs about this. Good morning.
Hi.
When did you start drinking, and how heavy a drinker are you?
I started drinking, about 15 years ago. And then about 8 years ago, I started to think, this is getting a little bit too much. By then, I was drinking, I would say, about half a bottle of wine a night, most nights. And so from that point, I started trying to moderate the usual stuff, give up for a month, or only have it on weekends, or don't drink alone, that kind of thing. But none of those things worked. And I persevered for 8 years, which is quite impressive. And by the time I stopped, amounts, it's not so important, but it had increased. So it wasn't like I was moderating and all was fine. It just kept creeping up, and I'd got to a bottle and a half of wine a night. And I actually had an allergic reaction to food, and I had a moment of just going, right, actually, do you know what? If this is starting to affect my health now, and if I keep going, I don't know what's going to happen next, because it didn't feel like it was in my control.
Is this when you turned to sober coaching?
I did, yes. I decided that I was going to stop for a while and see what happened, and I went online. And this is the first time, I think, that I've ever reached out for help. And I think this is what made the massive difference, that not only it was just a kind of the act of reaching out that made this difference. And then I stumbled across Belle's blog, and I started reading her first 2 months, and was just like, oh, this is me. This is so me. I've never come across anything like this before. This is crazy. Because I didn't think of myself as an alcoholic. Nobody wants to think of themselves as an alcoholic.
But as I understand it, you were also waking in the night for some alcohol. I mean, you're drinking wine, and this is like this is part of a process every day. I'm getting some messages which say exactly this. So what do you think the difference is between what you felt like you were in and an alcoholic?
I don't know. I don't know. All I know is what I see on a TV and things like that is you see an alcoholic is somebody who drinks 2 bottles of vodka a day or 2 bottles of wine before they go out for work.
Doing it at night when you were, if you like, allowed.
I was doing it like a lot of people I know do it, which is you go to the pub on a Saturday afternoon and you have 3 pints and then you go home and you might have a nap and some tea and then a couple of glasses of wine.
But were you worrying if you had enough alcohol in the house?
Yes, I was. So I would go, is there enough? Do I need to pop out and get some more? But it wasn't like this kind of thing that you see on the TV, which is somebody going, you know, this crazed alcoholic. It was like, well, I've got a bottle in. I should just get two just in case I want a bit more. It seemed very rational at the time.
Let me bring back in my sober coach for this, certainly for this 10 minutes or so I've had you, Belle Robertson, and some people saying here that they have used a sober coach as well. What would you say to anybody who's listening who recognises themselves in what they've just heard in terms of what they should do?
I think I would say that it doesn't matter whether you think you're an alcoholic or not, that that's just a word. And I don't use that word, and that word gets people hung up. So does focusing on the quantity. If you drink three bottles or three glasses, it's still hard to stop. It still makes you feel alone. It still makes you feel like you're broken in some way.
And are you seeing a typical profile of the people who come to you? Is it mainly female? Is it mainly an age group?
No, it isn't. I have 23-year-olds and I have 70-year-old grannies. I'm about 80% women, but I have lots of male people who subscribe or do the free stuff or who are pen pals or do coaching with me.
They started drinking from when they were young and they haven't stopped?
No, I think that that's still stereotyping it like it's some big calamitous event. It's drinking three glasses of wine every night after dinner and then doing it every night for 7 nights and then saying to yourself, I'd like to quit for a week and not being able to.
So that's
finding it really difficult.
That's the sort of point where you think, okay, maybe I need to go and check out a sober coach. Fascinating. Thank you very much for talking to me. Belle Robertson there, author of the blog Tired About Drinking, Thinking About Drinking and Is a Sober Coach. Sarah and Bemi Girl, thank you so much for sharing your experiences. You're getting in touch. Paula in Scotland says, I used a sober coach and I'm successfully sober since the 26th of January 2014. Well done you. We get support from personal trainers for fitness or career coaches to get a job. Why not get support if you have an issue with alcohol? Well, if any of that speaks to you, or if you indeed got in touch with a friend who you think needed an intervention or needed some help, 85058, tell me that story. And in the next hour, Parliament may be dissolved. I will have my panel of MPs, as they were, coming up, or rather the candidates, and we'll be chewing over the big issues in their political parties.
First for news and the best live sport. This is BBC Five Live.
It's 11 o'clock on Five Live. I'm Emma Barnett and you're listening to Five Live Daily.